What it do? I'm Rock.
This your boy Smoke.
And this Taz.
And this is Off the Rock, man. Welcome back. We back kicking it again. Man, how you guys feeling?
Good. Feeling great.
So what y'all boys get into this weekend? Come on now, last weekend y'all said y'all didn't
have
a
choice. I had to do some of this, you know, Valentine, so I had
Yeah, you know that big Valentine vibe, baby.
You know,
broke your hand like Birdman.
Yeah, you know how I do.
So did she break the bank this Friday or how I go?
No, she don't break the bank.
She don't break the bank. Cause it's her bank, your bank too.
I mean, pretty much, but she like to spend money occasionally.
I don't know, man. The way your woman is, she like to spend money the right way. But I seen a picture of my boy house, and he had like 8 tubs of just like clothes liquids, like the washing liquids for your clothes, the detergent. That boy had 30 tubs of it. So whatever she's doing with that coupon and junk, she on top of it.
She ain't got this coupon, and that's where the money
go. Man, ain't nothing wrong with that, though. At least I know if I ever need something to wash the clothes, I know exactly who I'm calling.
Yeah, come get your bundles.
Facts, man.
Selling them off the rip.
So what you doing on the Valentine's Day? Basic files and stuff?
We kept it simple this year. We wasn't even supposed to get nothing. Oh. But you know, you can't. When they say no, that means yes. So I still went and bought some stuff, and we just went out to dinner. That was it.
Where you taking to dinner?
Where we go? Where did we go?
Oh, my God.
I can't even remember. Man, we ain't been to
She finna beat you up when you listen to this podcast.
We ain't been to a romantic type of... You know, we just went out
man,
to dinner.
Yeah, man. This is year 7, ain't...
Yeah, like, it's normal now. Like,
y'all ain't trying to compete with them kids out there. Nah. Hey, man, I'm going to take my girl, though, to Red Lobster, knowing that ain't even the hype. The biscuit's good, though.
We'll save that money and be like, yeah, let's go out of town.
Exactly. I'd be wanting to do the whole Saturday thing. I ain't finna go out there and compete with all them people. What you get your mama for Valentine's Day? We know you ain't.
Man, look, y'all can get off me, man. Okay, then.
My man, go ahead. You got the floor.
I'm gonna be real, child. I ain't get nobody nothing for Valentine's Day.
Look,
I ain't got no Valentine's. I stayed home and watched Valentine's movie all day.
Sound depressed.
Women, ladies, if y'all listening to this podcast, my friend Smoke ain't got no ladies.
He need ladies.
I'm gonna need Franklin to edit in some Valentine's Day. Some smooth Keith Sweat right here.
But what in the world? All right, this man said Keith Sweat.
But you gotta leave got your mama something. I mean, something.
I know.
So women, ladies. Smoke ain't got no ladies.
Ladies.
So if you need a man in your life, come get you a man who's educated and sports. Such and by his mama Valentine's Day gifts.
This is your stop at the Sweat Hotel.
That,
John
Franklin.
That boy said spouts.
Man.
Spouts.
Trippy.
Alright, so you just looked out. You ain't even get nobody nothing.
No, I just looked outside.
You kept your money.
Yeah, true. But still, I had to spend money, man. Like, one of my speakers broke. Well, you was there.
Oh, so he made love to the game.
Was there.
Yeah. He made love to the game.
So, man, I stayed home, played the game, and make beats, and that's it. I wasn't worried about
like
no female.
Very, very cool thing.
I mean, at least you did something.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, at least I wanted to spend time with a friend, but shoot.
Your friend was them beats. Them hot beats. Man, so for Valentine's Day for me, man, I had another wild weekend. I got a chance this weekend. I had a show. I was playing down at the Merry Widow. Shout out to Merry Widow. They needed a jam band to go down there during the parade so they can try to get people in. So I came down there, played for OG Threads and my friends Sloth Racer and some other players that we know or whatever, you know, as far as in the game or whatever. So I got a chance to jam with some of my friends on Valentine's Day. My lady came out, she came supported, you know, me and everything, and then we decided to go out for dinner at BJ's. But I gotta tell y'all, you know, like we do every podcast, it seemed like it's a tradition. I gotta tell y'all what things went wrong on my weekend.
Oh, God.
It went wrong, but it went right at the same time, bro. All right, so look. I play for another band. This band I ain't gonna put out there. Y'all know. Whatever.
Expose him.
I ain't doing all that. Come on now. But I gotta say, Saturday after, you know, I got my girl flowers and donuts and stuff on Friday because, you know, I kept it classy, kept it smooth. She liked that type of stuff or whatever. But I had a gig Saturday. I was playing for a casino or whatever, and they gave us a room too since I was playing out there. So we had a little getaway or whatever. So while I was out there, I'm going to tell you, I had the most lucrative 30 minutes you could ever have, like, ever. Like, unless you hit the jackpot. Nah, but even that takes, like, a day or two. But, like, this lucrative 30 minutes? Boy, look. All right, so I pulled up to the casino after I checked into the hotel room, ate or whatever. We was getting ready to do whatever we do. So, I wanted to see what we was playing at, what room we was playing at. Man, look. I had to get escorted into that room because when I walked into that room, I seen a transparent barrel. So you can look through it and you see the tickets where people have put their money in to win something. I was like, hey, bro, what's this about? He said, man, it's for that BMW you see outside the door. I said, oh, facts. So what I got to do to get my ticket in that barrel? He said, bro, it's $1,500.
I know you lying.
A ticket, bro. So I'm like, oh, so we playing for a raffle for a car? And he was like, yeah, bro, y'all playing for a raffle for a car? I'm like, all right, bet. All right, I get it. So, you know, we set up or whatever. And this band that I'm in, they're a fun band. So they're a band that really like the party. They got choreographed dance moves and all that other type of stuff. And I'm just on the back just rocking on the drums, bro. That's just all I do. You know, ain't nothing clicked to me until I got ready to get on stage that this might not go right. So it didn't click till I was 5 minutes inside the show. That was like, hey, bro. Y'all, they might have scheduled the wrong band for this gig. Whoa. So I'm looking up and I'm seeing these choreographed dance moves and something slapped me on the back of the neck. Like, pop. Bro, these people ain't finna vibe with none of this music right now. They nervous as hell. You think about it. You just put $1,500 in a barrel to win a car. If your name don't get called, you mad as hell right now.
My thing is, we got $1,500 put in a barrel. Why you just didn't get the car? That means if you could throw away money like that, you probably could just get the car.
Hey, man, that's true. But I know they sweating like a stripper in church when they were turning that damn barrel. Because we're not, like, a couple people vibing to the music. But, bruh,
I wouldn't be paying attention either.
I wouldn't give a damn what was going on. You could be playing Smokey Gray, Smokey Norfolk at the time. I don't give a rip. I'm watching that barrel. And that's exactly what happened. And then next thing you know, PR manager came up to us and he gave us the signal to cut. I was like, all right, bet. So, you know, I came down, but the singer kept making things awkward because she was like, well, you know, what did we do wrong or whatever? And she still had the mic in her hand. I said, bro, come on, put the mic down, bro. Just go to the back. All right, so we went to the back, and the dude was like, you know, they ain't really feeling it or whatever, and, you know, they just wanted to cut. And I was just like, all right, man, you know, Nate. And as the other two were asking, you know, questions that they felt and deemed were necessary, I asked the questions a Nigerian brother as myself would ask. Are we getting paid still? And he was like, yeah. I said, are the rooms still good? And he was like, yep. I said, all right, bet.
The next thing should have been no further questions.
What? I said, all right, bet. And then I looked him in the eyes and I told him this. And before I went to my room, I told him this. I said, look, next time, don't book a clown for a business meeting. All right, peace. And I went back with my lady to the room and we got us some ice cream and sat down in the room and watched Central Intelligence till we passed out.
I mean, that was pretty dumb on their part, but, I mean, at least you won.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, and I get it. No disrespect to the casino that I played for or whatever. I get it. You wanted to try something new. You're branching out of your box. But next time, just get a DJ. Like, you got to think about it. The gig itself was only 2 hours.
Oh man, that was what? Yeah, that was wasting money. They just throwing away money everywhere.
Is it what? Shoot. In the barrel, on the band. The only thing good was the mini bar, but I couldn't even drink according to the contract. Shoot. Like my contract said, like I couldn't drink or play slots till after the show.
Oh yeah, because they probably wouldn't have found you.
Facts. Boy, don't let me hit. I don't even get ripped without getting paid. Yeah, that
you would have hit for anything more than what they
that
paid.
That would have been even more lucrative. 30 leave. Minutes.
Why am I
facts,
here?
Thanks, man.
This man made easy money, though.
Hey,
yeah,
hey.
That was easy money.
Follow the wave. Follow the wave. All right, man. So we're going to move on into this next portion of the podcast. I'm excited to bring to y'all the very first interview for the pod. This guy I'm calling up is a dear friend of mine who studies at Troy and also is a Davidson grad, too. He's going to drop some knowledge on Troy, the small schools, and the state of their program. Also, this segment is brought to you by Mugshots, home of the best burgers in town. But wait, if you mention Off the Rock Podcast at the Mobile location, you get free chips and queso. That's right, free chips and queso if you mention Off the Rock. And what's better than that? So go visit Mobile Mugshots. Frankie, let's rock this interview. All right, today on the show, we have my friend, Jamal Kennedy. He's from the WSFA 12 News. He's also a Troy alum, and he also is a former Davidson graduate, man. How you doing, Jamal?
Doing well, man. Thanks for having me on.
Man, I appreciate you for coming on today with us. Man, so how is life out in, aren't you in Tuscaloosa or like Montgomery area?
Yeah, I'm in Montgomery. Yeah. I mean, life is, you know, it's you learn a lot when you move out on your own for the first time and you learn how to handle things. But luckily, I had parents who prepared me well. So the transition from college life to living on my own, because I graduated college in 2017 and then actually started my job 10 days later.
Man.
So I immediately like thrust out, had my job, you know, was handling those kinds of things. And then I actually moved into my apartment. I moved to Montgomery maybe like 2 months after I started my job.
Man.
So from July 2017 until now, I've really been on my own, paying my own bills and things like that. Like paying my own car and things like that. So,
life came at you fast, bro.
Yeah, it came at me fast, but I had parents who prepared me well.
Yeah.
And luckily, nothing was too overwhelming for me. It's just, you know, been enjoying my life, been enjoying my time, trying to make the most of it in my position that I haven't. And it's been a lot of fun.
Man, I could tell, but I was just, you know, just thinking like, life coming at me that fast, you know, grateful for the parents that you did have to have you prepared. And I know also with you being a former Davidson graduate like myself, I know Davidson kind of put us through the ringer too with those off guard positions too, making sure that we was able to succeed wherever we went, because, you know, they really helped, you know, give people a solid foundation in certain areas over at Davidson High. And I appreciate them for that too.
For sure, man. Academically there. Just going from Davidson to college to university, I won't say it was a breeze, but it was a lot easier than I noticed that others had because of the curriculum that we had, that we went through, and the things that we learned. It's just I was a lot more prepared than others, and I just from a standpoint of knowing how to take notes effectively and knowing how to like study and prepare yourself effectively, not necessarily just the classroom knowledge or like knowing like the things that were happening in the course that you're knowing, more so, okay, this is how to effectively take notes so that you, when you're studying, you know, you can maximize your brain energy and your time and things like that. So, but Davidson was definitely, it was a good 4 years.
It's an experience, man.
You meet a lot of people in high school and then y'all separating and go your opposite ways. But you always, there's so many things I remember from high school, and I loved it truly. I really did. I can always think back on one thing or specifically like different things from different years of being in high school and just get really nostalgic once again. I enjoyed high school.
Yeah, man.
I had a lot of fun there. It was, they say college is the best 4 years of your life. And that may be true for some people, but I think I enjoyed high school probably more than I did college just because of, I don't know, I just had a lot of fun.
I teach over at Murphy High School, and I try to tell these guys all the time on the drum line, like, man, really, like, enjoy all the moments of high school, because I promise when you leave, like, you're going to want this back. You're really going to want this back, and you're really going to hone in on the lessons that you learn from here, and they also help you towards the next level. And, you know, with you being at the next level, which you had to be Troy, you know, with your boy going to South, you had to go on, branch out and go on the other way. It's all right. It's all right. It's cool.
Very funny, because my mom is a South Alabama graduate and things like that. And I didn't hate the university itself. I just didn't want to stay in Mobile.
No, blame you, man.
And I knew what I wanted to, and I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew what I wanted to study when I got to college. And unfortunately, South didn't have that, and so that was another incentive for me to leave and to go off. And just nothing against South when I was coming out. I just didn't, you know, like, I had a lot of friends who stayed and they went to South and things like that, and it would have been fun to see them again, but I wanted to really just get out and leave the city. As much as I loved it, I wanted to get out and leave and go experience college somewhere else. And that's what I did. And Troy was really another incredible 4 years of my life. I had a lot of fun there, made a lot of friends, a lot of guys who I still keep in touch with today, you know, lifelong friends and things like that.
Yeah.
So, it was in itself, you know, it's got its own memories, you know, in itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, house divided, not by choice, but by degree. And speaking of degrees, Troy, what did you take up?
I studied broadcast journalism.
Oh, man.
That's what I wanted to do probably around 11th grade, maybe like 10th or 11th grade. I had, there was a teacher at Davidson High School who thought that I had a really good voice for television and broadcast. And I never actually really thought about it until then. And then I kind of got a little serious about it, not like super serious, but I was like, well, maybe like I can, like, maybe I'll look into trying to do this.
Yeah. Like, you know, give it a shot.
Yeah, you know, you start going to the college fairs and things like that, and you're learning. And really, I was going to go to West Florida, Pensacola. They had a broadcast program. I loved the campus. I toured it.
Okay, Dan.
Then I actually applied there, and I got accepted, and they were going to take me as in-state. The only thing was they wanted me to take the SAT. And the SAT was like something that happened around like during baseball season and things like that. And I didn't want to, you know, I couldn't miss a Saturday for baseball season to take the SAT. And I just kind of never really got around to it. Yeah. It just so happened that Troy sent me something in the mail in the fall of our senior year, in the fall of 2012. I looked at it. It said something about broadcast journalism, about how they were one of the top schools in the Southeast and the country in broadcast journalism. And I thought that I would take a trip up. I applied. I took the trip, and I fell in love with campus. It was perfect. It wasn't too big and it wasn't too small.
Yeah.
But to someone coming from high school to college, it felt big enough. And I loved the atmosphere. And I came back home and I applied immediately and I got accepted. And that was really all she wrote.
Yeah, that was all. That's how I'm from now.
But yeah, you know, I knew I wanted to do broadcast journalism. And that's how I chose really Troy over West Florida for that department.
Man, so, you know, you going over to Troy and choosing that, I could see how your career over at Davidson during baseball could kind of help you now with, you know, being around the sport, knowing some things from being in the sport. So you kind of know the game speed of you playing. And so I believe like that will kind of help you when you look at certain sports and you document them with WSFA.
Yeah. I grew up playing football, basketball, and baseball. So, I've always watched sports. That's always been a part of my life. Both my parents played sports in high school and they really excelled at it. And that was just something that really, like, I have a younger brother. He plays sports up until a certain age. And that's just something that we did. I just come from a family when you branch off and you go to like uncles and aunts and cousins, like we just all, like, that's just something that we all did. whenever we come together at family reunions or like for Thanksgiving or whatever, you know, for holidays, like when, or even when I just see them in the summer, like that's just something that we always did, is we would always get together and play basketball or like throw the football around. It's just very much ingrained in my family. So sports is just something that I just, I did growing up. Playing baseball did help, and playing the sports did help, and knowing the knowledge, but it's just really much was just my love and my passion for sports, to really get to know more of the intricate kind of things about the sports, and really just, I quite recently found a stronger passion for maybe like basketball, than I had for like baseball, which is what I played the longest. I played baseball. I've been playing baseball since I was 3 all the way up until I couldn't play anymore. You know, until I was about like 20, but I recently found like a really strong passion for basketball once I couldn't play baseball anymore. And so the last like 4 or 5 years, I really just committed myself to just kind of like really indulging and diving into basketball and trying to make that like a really strong passion of mine. But you're right. I mean, playing it does, playing the sports, it does help. But I will say you don't have to have played a sport to really into sports. You could, if you have a passion for sports and despite not having played it, you can do it. You could be, I mean, there are people who are better than me at sports, you know, or at telling and relaying stories and things like that. And they may not have necessarily played a sport. It's just, it's about your passion. You know, I mean, it helps. I mean, it helps. I mean, the person individually, if they play the sport, you know, obviously, but you don't have to have played a sport to really be able to do it well.
That's true, because I got a passion for sports. I've only played like park ball or like, you know, in peewee football or whatever, but I really love sports and love being around the game, and that's what inspired me to create this podcast. I noticed, you know, I follow your Snapchats and your Facebook and stuff, and I noticed that while you was at Troy, you also did like media for Troy too, right?
No, so the way that the hall school works at the university is we have our own broadcast department. And within that department, it's like having a job in the real world. It's like being on TV, but on the college level. Okay. We actually went out and we actually covered these things. We actually covered these sports for the, you know, not for like any sports department, but for like our school television, station.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I did that. I actually started shooting things my junior year. But I'd been involved with the school TV station probably like the very end of my sophomore year, the second semester of my sophomore year is when I started, and I carried that all the way through, you know, until my senior year, obviously. But yeah, I mean, that's how it works at Troy. We have our own little TV station, and we go out and we cover, you know, stories in the community and around campus, and we cover sports around campus, and things like that.
Okay. So, while you was covering most of the sports, you know, on this podcast, we typically lean more to football, but we kind of talk about, you know, everything. But while you was covering the football, well, the sports over there, you know, what was one cool memory you had while you was covering them?
Easily, it's got to be my senior year, the Neil Brown, the first year, the first of the 3 consecutive 10 or more win seasons. The entire season in itself was an entire movie. It was amazing. From literally from the first game to the Clemson game when they should have beaten Clemson, I remember just like me and my roommates in our apartment just watching that game and being super duper invested and really rooting for Troy. And Troy had a lead and they were just hanging around, and there was the controversial goal line play, you know, that they said that the guy, you know, they said his forward progress was stopped before he fumbled the ball, and then Clemson ended up scoring, then Troy scored, and it was just
that. I remember that game. It was up and down.
I mean, the South Alabama game, which, you know, we bust, you know, students down to, and I was on the field shooting the game for, you know, for our station, and and having just being able to experience all of that and experiencing the bowl game. They ended up playing in Mobile in the Dollar General Bowl.
I remember that too.
I'm on the field for that, and I'm taking it in, and I'm covering the bowl game. You know, my final thing, that's that entire football season in itself was a huge memory. It was so much fun. I mean, Neil Brown, what he did for the program and what he did for the university, it was exciting. It was electric. And then the very next semester, you've got the women's basketball team and the men's basketball team, both winning the Sunbelt Conference tournament. And going to the, you know, going to the NCAA tournament, that was in itself, that was wild. It was just the entire senior, my entire senior year was just so much fun to cover. When I think back, I can't really choose one specific sports memory because so much happened.
It was greatness all over the place, man.
So much fun, yeah.
Well, you know, noting that from the Neil Brown era that you watched that, from the Neil Brown era to now, like, how do you feel about the state of the program now from then?
I think there are things to be excited about, and that's the offense. You know, Troy had one of the highest scoring offenses, not just in the conference, but in the nation. They were top 20 in scoring in the nation. And, you know, they put up yards, they put up points, you know, passing wise. I mean, it's just, that's something to be excited about. Obviously the defense wasn't there, but at the same time, they were very young. They had some injuries. Things happened. You know, a lot of things happen when you bring in new coaching, and it's not like Troy just up and fired Neil Brown. I mean, he left for a better position and he took along with him, you know, a lot of his old staff, a lot of his staff members that he brought in with him to Troy, he took with him to West Virginia.
Yeah, that's typical too.
You have to learn a new, the offenses are one thing because it's kind of, I mean, it's kind of similar, like air raid. Okay, we're going to throw the ball a lot. We're going to try to run the ball, you know, here and there. But defensively, when you bring in a new defensive mind and, you know, guys want to run different schemes or whatever it may be, things can happen. And that's what happened with Troy. They just didn't have a lot of, they just didn't make the stops when they needed to make them. They had a tough time getting off the field on third downs this past season. But again, they had a lot of injuries. They had some guys leave the program and transfer. They were just very young. I mean, they were just very young from an experience standpoint. But they still won five games. That's the thing about it, is that they were still very young and inexperienced, but they still won five games. You know, a game here or there, or a decision here and there. They played some close games too. It's not it's not like they just got blown out. You know, they didn't get blown out every single game that they lost. Specifically what comes to mind, the Arkansas State game earlier in the season, that was a complete like shootout. It was like 48. I think its final score ended up being like 51 to like 45. That was a very close game. It was very much so that Troy was scoring, you know, neither defense could stop the other offense. It's just that they made more plays than Troy was able to make, and they were able to win that game. So, The state of the program, how I feel like, you know, those guys got the experience that they needed. They got some talented recruiting. I think they had one of the better. I think when they ranked them out of all the Sunbelt, if not one, they were like two in Sunbelt, between Sunbelt. They were third. Okay.
Yeah.
Top three for Sunbelt.
I'll take that any day.
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of recruits. They got a lot of guys coming in with a lot of talent. They should be better, obviously. Year two under, you know, under both coordinators, offense and defense, and knowing the schemes that'll be run, I think they're due to, they'll bounce back, and I think they should. There's no reason to not think that they can't be in a bowl game, you know, after going to three consecutive bowl games, being in another one this year.
Yeah, and it's like you said, with the Arkansas State game, it proved something that I believe I brought out early on the podcast. It's like, The problem with Troy defensively was their back end. Like, the secondary was suspicious. Like, they had a funny back end pause. But, like, they addressed that with this recruiting cycle that they had.
Yeah. And they'll get better. I mean, those guys will be in the system another year. You know, they'll be a year older into the system.
Yep.
And they'll be a year older experience in knowing, you know, what comes with playing in the conference and things like that. And it's just, they'll get it.
And what is, you know, talking about that, what are some things that you are wanting to see from this new team, offensively or defensively?
Offensively, I just want to see how they transition under a new quarterback. I don't think we got to see a lot of these guys play with Caleb last year, playing as well as he did. And Sawyer Smith obviously transferred at the beginning of the season after last year's spring game, transferred up to Kentucky. So I want to see how they play offensively under a new quarterback, to see how that carries over. Defensively, obviously, I want to see what these guys look like in a second year, you know, under the new defensive coordinator, in that system, and how the secondary bounces back. Those are two of the biggest question marks. Is honestly quarterback, and are they going to be able to stop anyone this year? So that's what I'll be looking for sure. And that's what I'll be paying attention to in the spring game. You don't learn a lot from a spring game, but you can learn. I feel like you can learn enough. And so I feel like if the spring game goes well and we learn enough about a quarterback who could potentially, you know, because they got a lot of quarterbacks in that quarterback room. You talk about Jacob Free being one of them. Yeah. Gunnar Watson, I think he's another one. Gunnar played a lot last year, I think, when Caleb would go out, and because we were either blowing teams out or the other way around or whatever, you know. So I think Gunnar maybe has a leg up because he did get that experience. But
yeah,
Jacob Free was he was a freak of nature. I mean, he went to a D1, obviously out of high school, and then transferred to a junior college before, you know, coming back to Troy. He's from the area. He's from Brantley. He played at Brantley High School, which is in the area. I think he'll be playing, you know, a lot. He'll be looking to push for that starting role. I mean, it's a toss up. So,
Some stiff competition over there at Troy University, especially at that quarterback position. Man, it's definitely going to be some exciting times over at Troy. And I know me and my crew and everybody else is going to be paying special attention to what's happening down there. So some great things going on there with old Chip. Yeah. Before we get you off, though, man, you got to tell us, what was one of your other than, you know, the Neil Brown era, what was one of your favorite memories of being at Troy University for those people who are thinking about going to Troy, or for those college students that you listen to the podcast? Like, what was one of your favorite memories that you have just being on campus, even if it's not sports related?
Quite honestly, it's the campus itself. It's the university. It's the atmosphere. I know a lot of people think of, you know, a lot of people grow up in this state and they want to go to either Alabama or Auburn, and that's fine. And that's cool. I've never seen either campus, to be honest with you. Well, no. That's a lie. I've driven through Auburn's campus before. And it is of good size, and I've never seen Alabama's campus. But I will say that, quite honestly, for someone who doesn't, and I'm not someone who very much likes to be in a large crowd.
Yeah.
Meaning that I don't like to be around a huge group of people. So Troy was the perfect place for me because it wasn't very large, but it also wasn't very small. Like, you go to classes and the teachers know your name because the classes are small enough to where they get to know you individually. Like I said before, at the very beginning, I'm friends with guys that I literally am just talking to like right now in a group chat, that I'm going to know for forever, who are going to be in my wedding, or at my wedding, and I'm going to be at theirs and in some of theirs. And it's just like, I made friends. Like, everyone was nice. It's not just my group of friends, but everyone was nice there. The teachers were nice. The campus is amazing. It's beautiful, and they're building it up. They just built a new student rec center. That's like three levels now. And so not only was the atmosphere beautiful before, but they're building it up to make it more attractive. And that's not to say that it wasn't attractive when I went there, because we had newer dorms. We had a new dining hall. Obviously the football stadium. And they just finished the renovations for that. And that was literally like right after I left the basketball arena. I mean, it's just, there's so much to love about it in terms of just what can attract you, but it's really just the connections that I made, the friends that I made. So for anyone out there that feels like, because they can't get into an Alabama or an Auburn, that they don't have anywhere else to go. And this isn't really just a Troy plug, but it's just a smaller schools plug in general.
Yeah, shameless plug.
Think about going to one of these smaller schools, because you never really know. Yes, it's not like 50,000 students deep or whatever, or like 30,000 students deep, or whatever the size of Alabama or Auburn is. It's not that size, but you still get the quality of a solid education. You get to know your classmates, your professors. You get to know your advisors. You make wonderful friends. And I just had a blast. I mean, honestly, I enjoyed my time on campus, and I enjoyed the student life. That's what I remember. I mean, every single year I made really solid friends. My very first year, my second semester, I was already like hanging out with a group of guys, like going to shoot basketball, playing football on the weekends. I had just gotten there, you know, like into the friend group to miss the cutoff for like, you know, to go on a spring break trip. But I was in the friend group long enough to go on a trip to Atlanta to go to Six Flags with my new group of friends. Sophomore year, we all move into our, you know, apartments. I'm rooming with two of the guys that I, you know, joined the friend group with, and our apartment becomes a place where everybody comes to hang out to play video games and watch football in the fall and basketball and just watch movies and stuff. And then, like, you know, it just gets stronger, and it just got deeper. You know, we're graduating, we're going to each other's graduations. You know, whether somebody graduated in the spring a year before the rest of us graduated, or in the fall a semester before the rest of us graduated, we were all there for each other. We're taking group pics together. You know, we're going on group trips together. And so, honestly, that's what I love the most about university. That's what I love the most about Troy. Just that I met a group of guys that I'm going to be friends with, you know, 40 years from now. 50 years from now. So that's what I love the most about it.
So what Jay is saying to everybody, man, y'all put some respect on these schools' names out here, all right? Shameless plug from Jay.
I mean, for sure. I mean, it could be the same thing for someone thinking about going to South Alabama. It's not about the – I mean, you're going to – first of all, you're going to university for education. That's first. You're trying to better your future, set yourself up. You're choosing a university based off of where you want to be when you graduate and the kind of jobs that you want. And there's nothing wrong with choosing a smaller school. That's not, you know, that's not obviously when you look at a state and you think of, like, you look at a Georgia and you think of obviously University of Georgia, or you look at a Texas and you think of University of Texas. It doesn't have to be that. You can choose the Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech is still a larger school, but you can choose the Georgia States or the Georgia Southerns or whatever it may be, the schools that, you know, that would be like, if you had to go to school in state, that would be like third or fourth on your list. You can choose those schools. It's okay to choose those schools. They still offer something for you, and you can still have just as good of an experience. I mean, obviously Troy is in between Dothan and Montgomery. So if we took trips to Dothan all the time to go to the movies, to go see things. Or even just like Panama City isn't very far.
I was just gonna say that, man. They even got a sign when you get into Panama, like, "Hey, Troy, this way."
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's not in a large city. It's very much a small, close knit community, and the university really, you know, drives it. But we weren't very far from being able to go one way or another, to drive what, like 2 or 3 hours to Atlanta, or to drive to the beach. So, I had a wonderful time.
So, man, this is my guy Jamal Kennedy, WSFA News. And if you're not on the news, Jay, where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. Twitter, my Twitter handle is at Jamal Kennedy. That's J-A-H-M-A-L Kennedy, like the president. You could do the same thing to search me on Instagram and Facebook, and I'll pop up. But that's where I am. That's where you can find me. Area and see me on the news, man.
Yeah, man. And he mad funny on Twitter, bro, because I already follow him. Off the Rock, follow him too. So if you follow him Off the Rock on Twitter, you'll see him on there too, man. I want to appreciate you for coming on, brother.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me. I'm glad that you're doing this. Like I told you before, man, a lot of these smaller schools and a lot of these smaller conferences need love from the podcast world. This is a growing industry, And if you can find your little niche and make it successful and do the things that other people aren't doing, then it makes your little thing a hit. So thanks for having me on and talking a little bit about Troy football and Troy athletics as a whole, and being able to talk about myself.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it too. I gotta make sure you get a wedding invite, bro, because I'm getting married too soon. So I'll get married soon. And, you know, if you get one, I'll be looking for the invite, bro. I'll come out. I promise you. I got gifts and whatever.
Oh, gifts always be needed. Yeah.
All right, bro. Thank you, man.
Sure.
Man, that was a great interview, y'all, bro. Getting a chance to reconnect with one of my fellow brothers, and also, you know, just what he said when he talked about, you know, the mid-major, like, schools, like, letting people know that you don't have to go to these huge universities to get a great education, and places like South Alabama and Troy, UAB, you know, those places where you can feel a little bit closer to your professors and, you know, get in a great community. Well, you know, it feels more like family, because I ain't gonna lie, I went to Faulkner myself and I met some brothers, even one on the podcast now. Like, I've met people that will forever be engraved and ingrained into my life, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, for anybody who's looking for a university to go to, don't knock those schools out the way, you know what I'm saying? How y'all feel about that?
Yeah, the smaller schools is more like a family. I mean, you see those people, you see those same people all the time, so you kind of build more of a, you know, friend connection, brother connection, you know, different thing. It's more like, not to say it as in a bad way, but it's more like high school.
Yeah.
A lot of people, once they go to college, when they go to those big colleges, they get a certain amount of friends. That's it.
Yeah.
With high school, you know, 20, 30 years later, you're still cool with them people because those are the people that you dealt with all the time.
That's fact.
So it's, small schools is really good.
Yeah, sometimes they be the wave, because I mean, those larger colleges, you go from being a person to being a number. You like number 177665, and they don't really care after that, bro. To be honest, like, I remember one of my professors told me about one of the classes he took at a higher level during one of his master's exams. He said, man, the teacher came, had a tape recorder, put the tape recorder on the desk, and just sat it there and said, test Friday, and then press play. And that was it.
Wow.
Man, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
I would have got up and walked out.
I would have walked out behind him and left my...
I flunked.
I would have left a recorder there saying, record.
Yeah,
for sure, man.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. But that's something that give, you know, y'all to think about. He, you know, he also talked about some Troy topics that was going on in there. And I really hope that Troy really shore up that defense, you know, because that was an Achilles heel from them winning some games that they had in the shootout. And they really do got some quarterback things to talk about. I mean, some quarterback things to figure out with Jacob Free and the other dominant quarterbacks that they do have on the roster. But we're going to keep on pushing along and moving along to Rocking Around the League. Rocking Around the League is brought to you by Hindenburg Pressure Washing. Man, your business looking down? Your home lost its spark? Man, hit up our friends at Hindenburg Pressure Washing. Let them give your place the facelift it needs. Let them pull up so other customers can pop up. Taz, hit them with the number.
All right, that number is 251-406-5875. Once again, 251-406-5875.
Man, hit up our friends at Hindenburg Pressure Washing. So there's a lot of stuff going on in the league. Yeah, we had the All-Star game. Man, we had some Miles Garrett. We had a whole bunch of
thunderous
topics to talk about, man. But let's dive into this All-Star game, bro. How did y'all feel about that new format?
I liked it. It was different. And I feel like with the Kobe situation,
yeah, man,
that really made them play. I ain't seen them play defense and actually try in some years like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, cause it was some, you know, donation money on the line
that
too.
Yeah, for so the, that really for made them want to play too. But you know, cause they weren't caring.
They really weren't.
They were just playing just to play because hey, we here. But
and, yeah, you can kind of tell from quarter to quarter how it went, cause you see some people whiffing on plays and not as hard as defense in the first, second, third quarter. But it seemed like in that fourth quarter, everybody really was vying for that Kobe Bryant MVP award. And I really love the fact that the NBA, you know, dedicated that award to Kobe Bryant, because I feel like all them times he been in there and he won that thing, it was kind of his award to begin with.
Exactly. True. That is true.
Yeah, that's 18
fact. Years. And as a, I mean,
yeah, man.
18. Just you played 20 and you made it there at All Star 18 times.
Yeah, man. That's dope.
That's crazy.
That's the Mamba mentality. Exactly. That's what it is. Sure. And man, if you listen in the wind real quick, or you pick up your phone at the opportune moment, you might hear AVP out for Sabonis. Like, where was he at the entire game? I feel like he started and then we just went looking for him. Sabonis, I was like, dang, what's Sabonis at? Find out he's like 3 for 6. Like, where did he go?
My boy went missing.
Yeah, man. And another person that I really didn't dominate as much as I thought he would be Luka Doncic. I felt like, especially in the second quarter when everybody wasn't really getting their points, it was really like Giannis who was kind of doing his thing. I thought that was an opportune moment for Luka to come and take over. At least for the West, you know, just show off his capabilities. And it seemed like he shied away from the moment. Other than that 3-point that he got coming off the side. Yeah, man.
I think he was just really happy to be there. And that's all he cared about.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm telling you, especially in that fourth quarter, them lights got big, boy.
Oh, yeah. Everybody started
in the fourth quarter, it started turning to a pickup game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They weren't playing. Fourth quarter, they were shooting.
That was the best pickup fourth quarter.
Yeah, it was.
Ever. Like, man, literally.
I knew it was getting a little chippy, especially when I knew the fourth quarter was a little weird when I seen Joel Embiid pull out the dream shake.
What?
And he worked it, too.
But what is that in during the game? He's so soft during the game.
Bro, I don't.
During regular season, period.
Yeah, regular season, he be tripping. Like, tripping. It's like, dude, you unstoppable.
He doesn't back up what he, you know.
No, like, lately he been more mouth than anything.
Yeah,
but true. He got it. He can, like, if he play and he focus, nobody can stop him.
And that's facts. I'll tell you another thing that I found was funny was the fact, it was LeBron James who tried to throw Luka an alley-oop, but LeBron James forgot. White man can't jump.
Man, he threw that thing. So
Luka was
high.
Like,
Luka said,
bro, I'm white. What
are you doing? CP3.
I didn't know he could get up like that.
They said that was his first time catching an alley in his career.
Yeah, and he did it at the All-Star game.
I didn't know he had hops like that.
I don't think he knew.
Yeah, true. He probably just was like, you know, I've been saving this past couple of years. I'm going to use it now. He don't really show it. Like, he's a old school real point guard.
That's fact. State Farm in the corner waiting like, oh, so you can jump now, fool?
Oh, we finna make you jump in these commercials. We finna make you do some jumping in this commercial. Your own stunts.
Jake, put on them damn khakis. We're going back to work. Son. Well, man, the All-Star game was, you know, really kicking it. I loved all of the shenanigans and things in the beginning that they did, honoring the people of Chicago and even throwing in Kobe Bryant and, you know, what's his name? The GM of the league during that time.
David Stern.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I forgot he passed.
Yeah.
Like, it was like right after he had that they had posted talking about he had got sick and then he went to the hospital.
Yeah.
It was right after. It probably was like a month after. I was like, damn, yeah. I forgot he passed.
And Magic Johnson with the speech and things that he gave in the beginning too, man. I did not know that David Stern was the one who okayed him to come and play at the All-Star game after he got diagnosed with HIV. Mm-hmm.
David Stern, he did a lot for the league.
He did.
He really like,
did,
literally. Man. He helped start the WNBA.
And he opened up a couple more teams.
Right. And another thing is players can come in internationally and play.
That was a big deal.
And look, just think about the NBA without all these players from these other countries. Like, I ain't gonna lie, it probably would be a little boring. Like, they got some athletes and they be over there taking over. So you know when they come over here, they be like, oh yeah, we want to see the competition.
Facts.
Oh yeah, they will take over your team too.
Exactly.
Spurs, you know, just to let y'all know. You know?
Just because Ginobili played for the Spurs.
Five-time champion. You know?
That's right.
Just want to let you know.
He had help.
Also, man, y'all watch James Harden struggle again?
Bro, I told you. He is shooting his career away.
Man, he only had 11 points on three of nine shooting, man.
Man, he think that Mohawk gave him powers.
He also...
you know what really messed him up? When he started doing them braids.
Oh, yeah.
That what messed him up. That when he started shooting bad, and he took him out.
Couldn't think. Damn, was too tight. That was so... Bro, it did, like... He got disrespected with that nutmeg that Trae Young did. If Trae Young would have hit that layup, it would have been on SportsCenter, bro.
I don't know what he got going on. Like, he going to get it together.
But, he really do.
But they finna start talking about him bad.
I just can't get over that fourth quarter, though. The intensity of it. For sure.
The best pickup game.
You ain't lied. It was the best pickup game. But another thing during that All-Star weekend that went down was the dunk contest. And my boy AG got snubbed again.
I've been waiting to talk about this. Bruh. I'm so pissed.
Who else you know get a bad pass and still land a 360?
Bro, the dunk he did was off a video game.
Facts. Back.
Look, NBA Live.
Exactly. Exactly.
NBA Live.
2005 to be specific.
What? PSP.
What? Oh, yeah. What?
Man, how do you do that?
I'm like, still rotating the stick trying to get that thing to work.
What? That used to be the hardest junk ever. Good job. You caught yourself.
Yes.
But, man, when he did the 360, I was like, oh, yeah, this is it. Okay. I said he won then. I'm like, yeah, he got him one.
Psych.
Like, they should have gave it to him anyway.
Yeah, they should have gave it to him.
Man, how many times was, like, Jones going to put the ball in between his legs?
He did the same dunk. I was so mad.
From different angles.
I'm like, bro, all you're doing is dunking between from different legs. Spots.
Yeah.
All he did the same between dunk. The legs. Different spots. That's it.
I think the hardest dunk he did, though, I ain't going to lie to you, when they threw it off the backboard and he went in between the legs over the dude, like, I'm that like, all right, that's probably the best dunk he did the entire night.
That was the one that made me say, okay, now it might be close.
Yeah.
When he did that one, I was like, all right, that was a good one. But he kept doing the same. And then he came with the last dunk. I'm like,
yeah.
The distance, yeah. But, like, you tall. Your arm's long. So, that ain't really a difficult dunk.
True.
It's easy. Like, Durant probably can do that standing under the goal. Like, your arm's about that long. So, that after that, I was like, yeah, that's it. But, I mean, when you jump over 7'5", I don't care. He should have won.
True. I really think he should have. And Dwayne Wade gonna say, well, I wasn't the only one to give him a 9. Nigga, we know you gave him a 9.
Yeah, he should have.
Dwayne Wade, a whole heat.
It was Dwayne Wade coming, and I don't know who the last person was.
I don't know.
I forgot who the last person was.
Me either, because it was irrelevant, because he shouldn't have got dang 9.
Why would y'all have an actor and a rapper as y'all?
Hey, chill out, bro. You can't say that, though.
You can't say that. I would at least have, like, the five greatest dunkers.
But they had Chris Rock 1 year, though. Like, it's Chris Rock.
They should have had Vince Carter, though.
But at least had the five greatest dunkers of all time.
They should have at least had him a judge.
Vince Carter won't get nobody no good. I do 10 times better than that. You get a 0.
Not with them bad kneecaps.
Man, shoot. Like, they need to have at least five of the greatest dunkers of all time. Yeah, they're going to have to
now because now these folks giving them these crazy scores. And it's like, but you can't do it.
Yeah, I mean,
he should have won. But he said he ain't going to do it no more. I still believe it. I believe it.
And Derrick Jones messed around and dunked himself right into a Puma deal after that. Dunked himself right into a Puma deal. I be wondering though, do they be coming with them dunks, like coming up with them dunks during the week, like just off the head though? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just off
true. The dome. I know I would. I'd be practicing.
Yeah, but you know, speaking of off the dome, Myles Garrett got reinstated.
That was smooth.
Got reinstated, like, man. Into I was so the happy. NFL, man. And that boy was missing game checks, was missing meals, all because he decided to hit somebody with a helmet.
He got to come hard this year. He got to get that money back.
Boy, sure. You know how much money he lost? And it ain't even like...
It hurt my heart. I don't
like,
know.
It ain't even like... I mean, I'm saying it like I'm rich or whatever, but I mean, he lost $43,000.
My chest.
That's that like nothing. Two Ford Fusions.
We don't have $40,000.
I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I wish I had $5,000.
Exactly. Like, but that's
anybody
a lot.
Wanna give NFL, us $5,000?
That's a little like, fine. That ain't a lot to him. He don't care. Like, he can get one endorsement and make that back. You know, like, but still, that's money. $40,000. That's to lose, though. That's the fact. $40,000 to lose.
Yeah, man, and the teams got fined. Both teams got fined $250,000 apiece.
See, you know what I'm saying? Like,
they got a whole car note and a house note.
Yeah, that's it. That's
car note, house note, some more notes, my notes, your notes. Hey, you think NFL, of the note? They
NFL,
pay that
just
too.
Give me $10,000.
I think that's if you think about $250,000. Now they got, I think they got $236 million just gifted to them. After the last season, as a part of the thing Roger Goodell gave them, as far as their earnings, I understand like that ain't really much, but man, I'm just happy that he able to come back and play the game that he loved and did so much work to be a part of. Because you know that being his first offense, me watching Myles Garrett's career, I don't think that's gonna ever happen again. Honestly.
No.
I don't think that's really in his character. I think he got out of character for that.
And see, the thing is, it's like, you were doing really good. So it's like, you had this one accident. So it's like, nah, my boy gonna come hard. He ain't gonna have no more trouble problems.
And that's what I'm hoping.
He really, really good.
True.
So.
Do y'all know this man listen to Bach?
To what?
To Bach.
He also write poetry, too.
That, too. Like, this man real deal smart.
He real deal everywhere.
Yeah, just gotta keep it. You know, I wish he would make a book. Like, he just make a book of all his poems or whatever. And just throw them things out there. Just, you know, give us the other side of Myles Garrett that ain't so violent. So people can get this violent stigma off of
him. Hey, look, I'm just saying, anybody gonna be violent when you get kicked. I know I would be.
I don't know if he really got kicked because, you know, Rudolph came and said, oh, that's just a whole bunch of baloney.
Lies.
The N-bomb, y'all heard
but
that?
But y'all know the video that they used that they put on ESPN now came from Instagram. Somebody posted it on Instagram. That's how it got on there.
For real?
He kicked that man, yeah.
He really
The one that they originally were using that they kept saying they couldn't see. Somebody on Instagram posted another angle of it. And that once that got went viral, they start putting that one on there, trying to, you know, make it like, all right, cool. Here's his side. That's what really made it. It was like, all right, yeah, we see what you actually talking about. Because at first, wasn't nobody believing him. When that video came out, everybody was like, yeah, okay, I see your point. He definitely was kicking him. Like, he was lifting himself off the ground, just stretching his foot out. Like, where else you going? You ain't doing, you trying to kick me. I would have been fighting too. I don't know about the helmet situation though.
Me either. I don't know. Well, I honestly, I don't think he would have hit him with the helmet if Mason Rudolph been charged at him again.
He hit that man so hard.
I don't know, bro. That helmet like ain't no man. Joke. Like,
yeah, I ain't gonna lie. It really ain't no joke. But hey, they. Well, after he got rid, we'll see after that. I just know, I think in Myles Garrett's future, he gonna pick that helmet up again.
Hey, look, if he do anything else, he might be over with then.
And that's facts. Well, you know, that was the NFL football. Now we got to move on to the XFL. Y'all watching the XFL this weekend?
Yes. The Houston team, nah, they quarterback, he's like the Lamar Jackson of the XFL.
I'm messing with the DC team. I already know why. I mean, y'all probably do too. Yeah. I mean, I've been watching them, so.
I think Houston can beat DC, though.
Really?
Yeah, I think Houston can beat DC.
I wouldn't go so far.
And I
want
to say, I think that's PJ Walker who did that that oh. side pass that kind of gave you a Pat Mahomes vibe?
Dude.
No, he did.
It was it was right. It was in a tight space, too.
The pass was so fire, it was trending on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, yeah, it was hard.
Oh, yeah. Like, when I seen him throw that, I said, okay, XFL really got talent.
And, yeah, these dudes is real deal, just like players that just missed that. One, had that one thing that they messed up on that was like, ah, can't put you in the NFL. Like, they real good. Yeah, that's why I think the league gonna be pushed up. Like, it's gonna make a hit.
Because XFL is coming with all the fun. I mean, I know week one, it had multiple F-bombs, on the field, projectile vomiting, replay officials using Xbox controllers, fans in the stands eating rally cheese. It had no stupid penalty flags, a drunk streaker, post-game shot, like shotguns of hard seltzer water. They drinking White Claw, y'all.
Oh, my God.
And that don't even include the football. So, like, XFL already coming with all the fun. If they could just get the game, like the actual product of the football game, to be A1, like, XFL, bro, I ain't gonna lie, it's gonna compete with the NFL.
I think it's already better than it was the last time.
That was like 01.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was more exciting back then because it was around the time where you could just knock somebody out and it was cool.
Yeah.
Well, and they had that little one-on-one thing.
Yeah, so it was like, you weren't really looking for football. You were just looking for the pain.
Yes.
So now it's like, all right, cool. We're going to let them hit. But we ain't gonna kill each other.
Yeah.
But we're gonna play better football.
So have a better brand.
Exactly.
And then in the XFL last time, with those camera angles and replays and stuff like that, it changed the game of the NFL, because the NFL wasn't doing any of that until the XFL came out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the NFL took pieces of the XFL. And I'm hoping that the NFL take pieces of the XFL and include it in their game, especially with them betting lines being able to be posted on the monitors and stuff like that. I really think, like, the XFL need to, like, I mean, the NFL need to take a page out of the XFL and stop being so conservative with what they got going on and be more fan-friendly or whatever. But I know one suggestion that somebody posted, and I think, you know, I would actually vibe with it. You know, they said at the end of every NFL season, the winner of the XFL championship should play the worst NFL team that season. And if the XFL teams win, they will get promoted to the NFL, and the NFL team will be demoted to the XFL. That's something I believe everybody will watch. Like, I tune into that.
I mean, definitely. Who wants to, you know, we've been waiting for the Browns or the Bengals to be gone. Like,
but my problem is with it, like, how will that XFL team get NFL money?
I mean, I guess when they get a cut after the end of the season. Yeah, like, you just, I mean, that cut that they got, look, you can get.
I'm like, cool, y'all ain't doing it in the NFL anyway. Get this XFL money. Maybe y'all a do better.
Facts. Or they could keep the team in the roster swap.
But yeah. what if the XFL don't last as long as it's supposed to? You feel me?
Because I don't know, man, they already on a good foot though.
They're too.
They got money. They do. It's on ESPN. We done tuned in. I don't remember tuning in to one AAF game last year.
I ain't gonna lie, I did.
I tuned in like by two.
I think I did like two. One or two. It was all right.
We
it
already just was looking forward to the season. I mean, the week three of the XFL.
It was just so different. Like, you watching XFL, they jersey ain't like, oh my God. But it was better than the other league. Like, they looked like they had on practice uniforms.
Yeah, no lie.
It was just a blank black shirt. Yeah. You know, it's like, okay.
Real deal, Miami
but just
Sharks.
Looking at the sure talent in the XFL.
That's a prime example.
I'm dealing with the XFL talent more than I'm dealing with the AAF talent.
Yeah, AAA was like a semi-pro.
It was a trial league run.
Yeah, they just kept having, you know, like every other team had like a, oh, y'all know this guy player.
Sure.
You ain't know nobody. You just knew that it was fresh talent, fresh game. This, you kind of know some of the players, but the people that you don't know, they make you know them.
They did. And I also watched one game in the XFL this past weekend. And, man, it was a play that went down. Dude that got an interception. He's running the ball back. and somebody took a cheap shot at someone, and they got into a big brawl on the field. It was almost like bench clearing.
I saw that.
I was like, dang, why would you even take that cheap shot? I mean, okay, homeboy ripped the ball or whatever. I mean, just call it that and then go back and fight. It's, you got more opportunities and chances to make that up and score in the XFL than you ever would have in the NFL. I wouldn't even trip. Because if they mess around and kick that ball wrong, we on a 45 anyway.
Yeah, like, yeah. it's easy to score in this league right here by mistakes that the other team make.
And that's facts. And I was like, look, you have a chance right here to either rock with it or drop it. And you already know where we're going with this. We're moving on to our next segment, Rock It or Drop It. Rock It or Drop It is definitely brought to you by Big Head Chuck's Barbecue and Catering. Good games are hard to find, and so is good barbecue. Big Head Barbecue has the best barbecue you can get. They do parties, sweet 16s, and even dirty 30s. You have an occasion, they got the grills blazing. Hit them up on Facebook at Big Heads Barbecue, and you can call them at 251-379-0094. That's 251-379-0094. Man, I got a lot of Rocket to Drop topics for y'all today.
What you
Why,
got?
That's a tongue twister like a mud right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it was.
Big Rocket to Drop tips for y'all today. Man, look. Okay, so we all know about the All-Star Game. In the beginning of the All-Star Game, the tribute that they gave to Kobe, Jennifer Hudson came out there and sung For All We Know and had every real nigga in their front room crying. Like, no lie. Even I shed a tear. And I don't really get that emotional. But, like, when she came out there and the video tribute, man, I had to drop a tear for my boy Kobe, man. And she had me definitely in my feelings. And then that whole little montage that they had when they was giving it up for Chicago and Dwayne Wade. And, you know, they just pulling out Michael Jordan. They had Obama. They had so many figures, even Kanye. Man, Rocket to Drop It, the tribute for Chicago and Kobe, and the singing with Jennifer Hudson, man.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I definitely had to rock with that.
I cried in the car.
I cried in the car. It was great. It was one of them things where you could tell that they actually put time and plan this out. You know how sometimes they do these tributes and they like, yeah, all right, we gotta do it, and they don't think about it. This was planned out and it came out perfect.
Yeah. I can't even tell you another All-Star game that the intro was so great. Like, this has got to be the best intro for an All-Star game ever.
The greatest.
Gonna be. Yeah. It ain't no topping this.
What?
Especially with it being so, you know, somebody being so tied into it. It's probably, it's gonna be the best one. Ain't no topping this one.
Well, also while the tribute for Kobe was going on, some woman on Twitter decided that this was the prime opportunity for her to get people to log on to her OnlyFans. And as I'm strolling down the Twitter feed, and she decides to put in the NBA All-Star Game hashtag with this opportunity, and her lingerie and other specifics that we can't talk about on this podcast. So, Rocket or Drop It, showing your cheeks during the Kobe tribute on Twitter. How y'all feel?
Disrespectful.
What?
I feel the same way, man.
I'm finna report it.
I got a person on Twitter.
Disrespectful.
I got a person on Twitter that I follow, man. This man said, man, people, they ain't got no type of respect. He said, look, we out here trying to have respect for Kobe. Put your cheeks away. Have some respect.
We ain't trying to look at that. We over here trying to wipe our tears from COVID.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We trying to wipe our tears out here. We ain't trying to see your tears fall on some Gucci sheets.
Go get a job.
That's what I was saying.
J-O-B.
I mean, look, man, I ain't gonna knock a woman for doing your OnlyFans or whatever. But people want to pay for that, they can pay for that. But don't try to promote yourself during a time like this, man. We out here having our feels for Kobe. We ain't trying to feel or nothing else. All right, so during the All-Star game, man, y'all, Zion Williamson played during the Rising Stars game, where he dominated. He showed everybody what the number one pick was all about.
That's my son.
When he missed the dunks that they gave him.
That's my nephew.
We ain't gonna talk about that, dude.
That's my son. Stop it.
Oh, my God. I hope you claim him on the taxes.
Oh, yeah. He didn't claim me. What money he got?
He had some shoes made, and I didn't even know Jordan had this number, but it was the Jordan 34s.
Them Shaq 1.5s.
Wait a minute. Hey.
Disrespect.
Hold up now.
That was it, the 1.5s.
Anyway, the Jordan 34s, they were, I believe, gator skin color, and on the back, it read, "By you boys. Smoke. You rocking it or dropping it?"
Man, I'm dropping it, man. Like,
how you feel, Kendall? You gonna
why you doing my son like that, bro?
Oh, my Lord.
Them things look like some Shaqs, though. You can't.
Man,
they
don't look like no Shaqs,
they
bro.
They do like some Shaqs. Or some throw it off phone.
I mean, I
pilots.
Wouldn't wear them, but that's not the point right now.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'd probably drop them, too, because what I do, I would cop them, and then I hold on to them for about like a month or two. And then I'm finna resell the hell out them things.
You be bootleg in the shoe.
Do you know how much? Do you know how much people will buy?
I wouldn't do it, but I mean, look, it's the first shoe. You got to give them a pass on the first shoe.
All right,
everybody had an ugly first shoe. Besides KD,
and they were Team J's, bro. Because I don't know a number that high for Jordan.
I don't even know the numbers, but I definitely didn't know they went there.
Man,
golly.
That boy said, Jordan 34, damn near lost a dread.
I mean, he is a little late. He like, yeah, they made some joints around.
Boy, a little late. That boy a whole bunch of late.
34, golly.
Should have been early. And being early is what this girl was when she came to her thoughts on her birthday party. So there was a 8-year-old. Who had a wish, and that one wish that she had was to have her birthday party at, no, it's not what you're thinking. She didn't say Chuck E. Cheese. It was at Target. She wanted to have her birthday party at Target. None of us got kids, I believe. But if we had kids, y'all, would y'all want them to have their birthday party or let them have their birthday party if they wanted it at Target?
No.
Is this mic on?
Yeah, the mic on, fam.
Hell no.
No.
Oh no, bro. You win though.
No,
cause like,
don't, bro.
Look, you ain't even gotta pay for that.
Gonna talk about you, bro.
You just gotta get a cake.
Especially
they
when
got Starbucks. Some of them got popcorn.
Do you know
and
how
pizza.
Bad them employees are gonna talk about
why
you?
Why would they talk about you to get paid?
Bro, but you had your birthday.
They
your
had
child
this baby
birthday,
birthday
party
at Target.
Target.
Look, if
Target's
I
Target's free.
If I had a kid, I tell her, look, this will happen. Like, if you want to have your birthday party at Target, you just gotta sign this one piece of paper here. When you get around 16, you sign this piece of paper. You could not only have your birthday at Target, you can show up to Target every day, and then they pay you for being there, and now. You at Target. It's your birthday every day at Target.
That's going to be their worst nightmare. Don't tell them that lie.
Hey, look, man.
That's
she don't want to do it.
Right there. That man said
but
it's going to be birthday.
I ain't the one putting the dollars under her pillow. Target is now. If this is like Tooth Fairy.
They ain't going to be there long.
What?
I ain't going to lie.
When they get this thing called bills, they ain't going to be there long.
They're going to be like, damn, sure. Target ain't paying enough, daddy. For sure, man. I don't know if I could do the whole Target thing. And when I be in Target, I look for a lot of things. But I know one thing you ain't going to find in Target. And that's the new Mason Margiela shoes.
Definitely. Can I go find them now?
Margiela came out with some shoes. The Fusion Chunky Trainers. I had to say it slow because you ain't saying that.
Chunky Chips Ahoy.
The Mason... The Mason Margiela Fusion Chunky Trainers, they came out. If y'all haven't seen this shoe, y'all definitely got to go look it up and see what this thing look like. Because this thing is something else. Taz.
Definitely no.
You rocking the drop in this shoe, bro.
After seeing the picture of these shoes, I had bad thoughts.
I think I'm gonna need. I'm probably gonna get Franklin to get on the microphone for this one. Mm-mm. Oh my god, Smoke! What you doing with these shoes, bro?
Like, you invite your girl over for the first time and she see these shoes, she never talking to you again. She gonna think you the worst person ever.
If you came out the room with them shoes on and your girl was in the room, I figured you did what you did on the shoes, bro.
Exactly. She gonna be like, this man got a weird shoe fetish.
I'm gonna tell you, hey, bro, you need to go clean them things up. You need to go.
I'm like, hey, my boy, did the bird hit your shoe or something? Look, like, what's going on?
Audience, bro, like, look, just imagine, man. Just imagine.
Don't imagine.
Okay, don't imagine. Oh, my God. Hey, bro. So, like.
That was perfect.
This shoe looked like you put a donut in the microwave and the ice is sort of slide down the side. Like somebody just threw up on your shoe and you forced to walk with it. You don't own a rag nowhere. Bruh, I don't know, bro. I could do it, but I feel like...
Cream filling.
I feel like if somebody named Quavo would take off or somebody wear these shoes, it's going to be something. You're going to see people wearing them.
The right rapper's going to wear them, and he's going to say something about drip. It's going to go viral, and everybody going to be buying these shoes, bro.
I ain't going to lie to you, bro. The shoes are like they in the back of Walmart right somebody now. Somebody going to be talking about
drip walking with drip, something like that, and guess what? Everybody going to want them.
Oh, man, look.
I ain't buying them
fat ass shoes.
He finna bust one with them shoes, bro.
Them chunky trainers, they ain't training nobody but how to buy better shoes.
No, they training.
Oh my god. And speaking of busting it, man, we gonna bust on up out of here, bro. I want to thank everybody who listening and tuning in to all the podcasts, just as always. Shout out to my boy Jamal Kennedy over there.
Jamal.
And Montgomery, WSFA News. He told you where to find him. Y'all go find him. Go like, share, subscribe to Pod, man.
Warriors.
And we out of here, bro.
Go Bobcats.
Oh, my Lord.
What?
You heard me.
Chunky Fusion.
No, I did. You look like your
Chunky Fusion head.
And we love it.
Better hush.
Chill out.